gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, knowing that you are here, knowing that your great presence has come down, you've come with a shout. Father, acknowledging that you spoke through the lips of your prophet William Branham and you vindicated that ministry, that message. And so, Lord, that message is Christ. As your prophet said, he is the message. He is the doctrine. So, Father, we just ask you to help us, O God, to understand your ways, for your ways are greater than our ways. Your thoughts are greater than our thoughts. And certainly, Father, by giving us of your Holy Spirit, it allows us to enter into your word in a way which no man can do. It allows us to become that which you have spoken and to see it magnified and manifested in our flesh, in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Sunday we spoke concerning the frequency of God, and we showed where Brother Brown talked about the word as being recorded. And it has been circling the earth just waiting for someone who will be able to hear it and recognize it and then act upon it, which means to be able to step into it and become the manifested expression of that word of God for the hour. Tonight I would like to continue looking at what Brother Brown called the vibration of God. When explaining his gift of healing, he spoke often about being able to detect the diseases by a vibration in his hand. We shared several quotes concerning this on Sunday, and tonight I would like to take this one step further and show that every life form has a certain frequency that it lives in. From my angel shall go before thee, Brother Branham said. Then Edison, hour after hour, something in his heart. They never had no electricity before, but to light. But Edison believed that it would do it. And finally he conquered it because something in his heart said it'll do it. And as long as there's something in here saying that it'll do it, there's got to be something out there to respond to that. In other words, a deep cause is a deep response. That's right. What would your great-grandfather have said when he talked to the neighbor about television? A wave vibrating through the air like that would even make the picture. Why, we'd have said he's mentally upset, but somebody believed that there was an airwave, and he couldn't explain it. God had it here. Now, how did he think of being an airwave? Well, we've got it. We've got television, haven't we? Sure we have. Radio and so forth. How was it? Because something down in his heart said, it's there. And it broke into the realm and picked it up and brought it out here and give it to the world. Again, from his sermon, Things That Are To Be, he said, Dear God, as I know that this is paged on the book, the great record, we have blundered into science, Lord, enough to wake us up for realities to know that every move that we make goes around and around the world at the same time we make it. We've got that through television. We do realize, Father, that television doesn't manufacture a picture. It only channels the vibrations into a tube that makes a picture. Even the colors of clothes that we've got on shows through the ether waves of the air that vibration around the world. Then how is our sisters with them clothes on acting like that and not even hungering, painted faces, cut hair, ministers that will go to theology, some seminary, and take the thing of man's word, which makes, by their tradition, makes the commandment of God of no effect upon the people. By their tradition, saying they shouldn't belong to the church and that's all, and oh God. Do they realize that every word we say, scientifically proven, it's on record? And it starts when we start living in this earth, it ends when we die, and it's put in God's album to be played back again at the judgment. This is interesting because this is back in 1965, he's saying these things. And now we all know that the NSA tracks all your data, all your telephone, all your texts, all your emails, everything that you do that's digital, there's records of it. All right? And Brother Branham is going there and saying, not only that, but he says every move that you make, it's God's recording it. All right? Oh, dear God, these words never die. They go on and on. The record will be played at the day of judgment. You've seen those hands that went up, Father. It'll be right there at the day of judgment. Also, what their hearts were thinking will be there at the day of judgment. Now, the fact that God came down in this hour tells us that he descended from his dimension to ours, from his frequency to ours. But the fact that we are to lay in his presence is what takes us up to his frequency, his dimension, and becoming aware of it. And remember, you have to have the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 2 says, you know, what man can understand the things of a God except the Spirit of God be in him? All right. Now, let me explain for a second what we're talking about when we speak of the frequency of God. A frequency is defined as a complete cycle of vibration which occurs when the object moves from one extreme position to the other extreme and back again. The number of cycles that a vibrating object completes in 1 second is called frequency. The unit of frequency is hertz. 1 hertz equals 1 cycle per second. Now, to my right, I have a picture of a frequency chart that Dr. Huldah Clark has in her book. And if you remember in her book called The Cure for All Diseases, in the back of the book she has a chart of all pathogens, and she actually lists them, about 650 of them, and she shows a frequency range of each pathogen, and by tapping into that frequency with a frequency generator, she's able to cure the person of that disease. She calls it selective electrocution. Now you notice you have the top one here, if you can't read it, it says slime or molds, then molds and mycotoxins, then bacteria and viruses. They're up around 400. They run from about 300 to 425 or so. Then the protozoa, roundworm, flatworm, these are single cell type things. Then you have warts, and then you have tapeworms and mites, etc. And the chart actually goes up and up and up and up and up, all right, the higher the species, or the higher the elevation of the species, the higher the okay, so the chart shows the electromagnetic spectrum frequency. Now, this here shows the this chart shows the electromagnetic spectrum. You have gamma rays, X-ray, ultraviolet, visible, infrared, microwave, and radio. All right, these are the wavelengths, the frequencies, and the photon energy. Now, I forget what sermon it was in, but Brother Graham told us of an article that he had read in Reader's Digest where in Chicago, scientists had done some testing on a man who prayed for the sick, and they placed metal foil or something like that between the faith healer's hands and the patient he was praying for, and they were able to measure the amount of, it was either, I don't remember the article exactly, but it was either volts or frequency that was being transmitted through his hand while he prayed for the sick. And I know there's many people that when we pray for them, they say that they felt like a warming coming through their body. All right. Now, Brother Brown said in his sermon, water separation, he said, now, I want you to see that look like a milling fire, see? That's what the scientists said that tested it and so forth, that it is. It's an emerald, like a light. Well, now, I just want to say something to you now. You're conscious that there's something going on. It's not by man. Isn't that right? See, it's some. Now, what is it? That feeling that you feel, it's not me. I'm just a man. That's what it is right there. It's in another world. Just like coming through here is radio and television pictures coming right through us too. But it can't capture it, you see, because we're not made for that. But we are made to hold the Holy Spirit, see? And in there it begins to draw a picture like the tube in the television. Then it breaks forth to the human eye, and then I can see by God's television, God's vision of what your trouble is, that it's Him that's doing it. You believe that? So Brother Brown is kind of explaining to us, you know, this vibration or this things that are passing through, it's the Word of God. That's what it is. And he's beginning, and he's telling us that he's built in such a way, like you would have a crystal project onto the television screen, what's passing through, and only it can receive it. You can't see it with your eyes, but now you can see it on the screen. And Brother Brown is saying, you know, like God's television, God's vision of what your trouble is. So it you know, remember his hand would vibrate and things like that. That's how it first began. And then God, you know, give him the visions. Well, now that's the scripture, a scriptural for just what he said. Because remember, Jesus said in John 5:19, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For whatsoever things he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. So, you see, God is doing it in a, let's just call it a recorded realm. Okay, the Word of God went forth, circling the earth. Isaiah said certain things, like John the Baptist picked up on that. He said, when they said, you know, are you the Messiah? No. Are you the Christ? No, no. Yeah, are you that prophet? No, no. Who are you then? I'm one. I'm one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord. Okay, so Those words are spoken by Isaiah. John became them. All right. Now, all creation is made in terms of a frequency. And it's just knowing which frequency to dial into, so to speak, and you can see things the physical eye cannot see. In fact, even color is determined by frequency. Notice in the chart below, you will see that colors of the rainbow are determined by a set frequency range that allows them to be seen. Red is the lowest, then you move up to the highest, which is violet. And in between, you have orange, yellow, green, blue, and violet. These are the different band waves. If you notice, it's the lowest, and it takes less time. Remember, frequency is 1 second of time, and the hertz is the time of travel. So from the time that you start from this, and then you get to here, and back again, is 1 second. Well, violet is much faster in 1 second of time, okay? And so, in fact, we as a part of God's creation were made like all of His creation, and therefore we have a frequency of our own. In fact, each body organ has a separate frequency, and if we have a frequency, then we are also capable of transmitting that frequency to others, as Mark 16 tells us, "These signs shall follow them that believe, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." In fact, Brother Brown said in one place that Mark 16 does not even require that we pray. It just says, "They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." Now, below is a chart showing the frequencies of some of the human organs. In this chart, you see the thyroid and the parathyroid glands are at 62 to 68 megahertz. The thymus gland is 65 to 68. The heart, 67 to 70. The lungs, 58 to 65. The liver, etc. Okay? Then we see a chart. It tells us 528 hertz is a frequency that is central to the musical mathematical matrix of creation. Now remember when we went into this is maybe a year ago or maybe 2 years ago, and we showed you that that actually DNA is musical in its nature. You know, that when they discovered this, they found that healthy DNA would play music. I mean, if they took the DNA strand and they put it to music, to the bars in the musical, you know, in the musical graph, whatever they call that, a score, it would actually play Mozart or Beethoven. When they decided, well, what if we put in? So we're gonna do it in reverse. We're gonna try it. We'll put in Chopin's Death March, and it came out as cancer. DNA actually came out as cancer. So 528 hertz is a frequency that is central to the musical mathematical matrix of creation. This is the love frequency. 528 is known as the miracle tone, which brings remarkable and extraordinary changes. The MI tone is characterized as an extraordinary occurrence that surpasses all known human powers or natural forces and is ascribed to a divine or supernatural cause. Every day, more and more people tune themselves to the harmonic vibrations of 528 hertz music. In addition, the 528 hertz tone alone is scientifically associated with DNA repair. All right. The earth is set at a certain hertz, certain frequency, and electricity is not. Okay. Now, alpha waves in the human brain, Tesla wrote, alpha waves in the human brain are between 6 and 8 hertz. The wave frequency of the human cavity resonates between 6 and 8 hertz. All biological systems operating in the same frequency range, the human brain's alpha waves function in this range, and the electrical resonance of the earth is between 6 and 8. Thus, our entire biological system, the brain and the earth itself, work on the same frequencies. If we can control that resonant system electronically, we can directly control the entire mental system of humankind. And that's what they have been trying to do in things like MKUltra and, you know, government programs where they've actually used frequencies to tell people to go kill this person, and the person does it and they don't even know that they're not even aware that they did it. Now, realizing the power of the mind and the fact that we are all tuned to certain frequencies, dark science has also experimented with frequencies. And they have found out that they can control the behavior of people and animals using frequency generated at levels that cause a response in the targeted individual or the animal. You know, I think they first began to understand this when they made dog whistles. Anybody ever have a dog whistle? I did when I was a kid. as to blow it around the dogs and stuff, but we couldn't hear it ourselves. Our ear's not tuned to it, but the dogs could. Now, I'd like to click on a video at this point, and if someone could get, Sarah, if you get the two lights here, and Nick, if you can grab those two lights over there, and then if we can just zoom in on this. This is a video that kind of explains where they're going with this, and I'm just going to have to shrink this down for a moment. Okay. I need to somehow make this. I'm going to try it again. Let me see if I can play it in something else. Open with. I think my our QuickTime is not working on this thing. Let's try it again here. No. I can't help it. It just does. I'll try that again. Okay. You can try here, make it minimize it, but. Put it in half the size here, maybe. Just using Hertz, showing how creation is. Just you take the same salt, put it on a pan, and by giving it different Hertz, it takes different shapes. Vibrate the metal plate by using a tone generator. As the pitch of the tone increases, geometric platforms will form and become more complex. At 345 Hertz, at 1033 Hertz, at 1820 Hertz, at 2041 Hertz, see how it's changing shape, at 3240 Hertz, I guess I don't need the music so much. $39.75 Hertz. $4,049 Hertz. $41.29 Hertz. $41.73 Hertz. Look how different these are from the original. But they had lower Hertz. These are more lines now than 4221. It's the same salt that's being put on here, same substance. 4280. 4444. 4244. 4671. Crystalline salt moving like ants all over. Okay, now. Your first question is probably, big deal. Let me see if this is here. You might say, you need to hit the lights. You might be saying, so we saw how salt moves around on a table that's electrified using certain hertz. Every time you use your cell phone, think about the vicinity of your brain. What's that doing to the structure of your brain? And they're going to five. Right now it's at 4,000 hertz, and now they're going to go to 5 hertz.
Gigahertz.
They used to be 3. Then they went to 5. Well, before 3, they had 1.2 and 2.4, your phones in your house, the electric ones. Now, the ones that are just wired, those are only 30 amps. I don't know what their hertz are. Do you know, Doug, what the regular telephone?
It's a range. Say within a certain range.
But it's very low compared to the other because
it's
the other.
The power that they drive it makes a difference.
Right. They only use 30 amps to drive all the telephones. So, all I'm saying is, if you saw this, just salt on a plate at the different changing shapes, all right, then what's cell phones doing to your brains?
That's 400 watts usually.
Yeah.
That's way below 30 amps.
Yeah. And what's Wi-Fi doing? And what's all the stuff that's coming through the room right now? Like Brother Brown said, it's been there for years because they had television. He said they always had it. They just didn't know how to get to it. So, we're looking at dimensions here. Mm-hmm. And what these wave things can do to your dimension. It's in a different dimension, but it's coming here. And they're trying to bring it in using the cell towers and using all this other stuff, and they're bombarding us. It's just, the Bible says if the Lord didn't shorten the day, no flesh would be saved. Now, on the other hand, I'd like to read you a story out of a book that I have in my study called Hand on the Helm. This is a book that lists about 46 different instances of supernatural vindication of God's presence with men. The stories in this book were written and compiled by a woman named Catherine Pollard Carter, just to give credit where credit's due. And this one is called Scientists Accidentally Measured Electromagnetic Power of Prayer. 5 hardened scientists sat weeping in a room adjacent to the patient they were testing. They were oblivious to the registration of the trembling needle on their instrument dial, spellbound by the flow of prayer coming from a tiny microphone in the patient's room. At least they were oblivious to the surging needle until it began to strike the post at the far right and bounce repeatedly against it, trying to go past it. The clicking sound aroused their attention. This is not the unknown which they had set out to discover, but it was infinitely more exciting and significant. It was to change the entire direction of one scientist's life, that of Dr. N. Jerome Stowell, whose account of the experiment is as follows. We wanted to make an experiment to discover what took place in the brain at the moment of transition from life to death, Dr. Stowell recounts. They set up their experiments in a large pathological laboratory with infinite care using precision instruments. I was almost a devout atheist, Dr. Stowell recalls. I didn't believe that God was any more than a conglomeration of everyone's mind put together, and that the good that was there, that was God as far as I was concerned. So the real God existing and loving us all with power over everything. I didn't believe that. But in the large pathological laboratory that day, he had an experiment that gave a jolt to his religious tenets. We chose a lady whose family had sent her to a mental institution, but she had been discharged. The doctor could not find anything wrong with her other than that she had a cancer of the brain. This affected the balance of her body only. As far as her alertness of mind was concerned, and every other way, she was exceptionally brilliant, but she knew that she was on the verge of death, and she was informed of this research hospital that she was going to die. Before informing her of this, they had attached a tiny pickup to her brain to ascertain what would take place there in the transition from life to death. They also put a small microphone, very small microphone, about the size of a quarter in her room so that they could hear anything she might say after learning of her impending death. Five of us, hardened scientists, perhaps, I was the hardest of the group and most atheistic, were in the adjoining room with our instruments. Dr. Stoll details the experiment. Prepared to register and record what transpired. See, they were just wanting to see what happens to the brain at the time of death. They didn't know. All right? They're curious. Our device had a needle pointing to zero at the center of the scale. To the right, the scale was calibrated to 500 points positive. To the left, the scale was calibrated to 500 points negative. We previously had registered on this identical instrument the electromagnetic power used by a 50-kilowatt broadcast station in sending a message around the world. That would be like WLW, 700 WLW. That's a 50-kilowatt station. The needle registered 9 points on the positive side. So 50 kilowatts put out. You've seen the big towers, Brother John, over there in Mason. You've seen those big towers there. And it only registered 9 on this instrument. All right? 50,000 kilowatts. Or 50 kilowatts, okay? As the last moment of the woman's patient life arrived, she began to pray and to praise the Lord. Her prayers were so beautiful as they came through on the small microphone that they held the five listening men in the next room spellbound. They heard her ask the Lord, Lord God, to be merciful to those who had despitefully used her. Then she reaffirmed her faith in God, Dr. Stoll continued, telling him that she knew that he was the only power and that he was the living power. She told God he always had been and would be. She told him how much she loved him. Engrossed in the beautiful torrent of prayer escaping the dying woman's lips, the scientists completely forgot their experiment. We looked at each other and saw tears streaming down scientific faces, Dr. Stoll relates. I had not shed a tear since I was a child. Suddenly we heard the clicking sound on our forgotten instrument. We looked and the needle was registering a positive 500 and desperately trying to go higher, only to bounce again against the 500 positive post in its attempts. By actual instrumentation, we had recorded that the brain of the woman alone and dying in communication with God had registered more than 55 times the electromagnetic power used by a 50-kilowatt broadcast station in sending a message around the world. Thoroughly astonished. Now, what's 50 kilowatts? A kilowatt is 1,000 watts, right? So that'd be 50,000 watts. Mm-hmm. All right, and this is 55 times at 50,000 watts. So that's what?
550,000.
Huh?
550,000.
Well, 55 times would be about 260,000. No, be more than that. Be 2,600,000 watts. All right. Thoroughly astonished by their discovery, the scientists later tried the same experiment on a man lying in a research hospital stricken with deadly social disease, who cursed and took the name of God in vain when deliberately crossed by the nurse during the experiment. The needle immediately clicked back and forth against the negative 500 post. By actual instrumentation, Dr. Stoll recounted, we had registered what happened in that brain when that brain broke one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. We had established by instrumentation the positive power of God and the negative power of the adversary. We had found that beneficial truth is positive and that non-beneficial things covered by God's thou shalt nots of the Ten Commandments are negative in varying degrees. It is the presence of God in us that gives us power, the extent of which we have no conception as to its magnitude, he concluded. The effect of this experiment, resulting in one of the most amazing scientific discoveries of all time, was so great upon Dr. Stoll that he gave up his brilliant career as a scientist and has engaged in witnessing to the goodness and the greatness of God ever since. Thus, by accident, the genuine power of God in man through prayer was proven to be a measurable reality, and it was demonstrated by five men who did not even believe God existed. Pondering the surge of energy produced by one weakened and dying woman, one is awed by the possibilities of prayer power generated by a small group or an entire nation of people joined in heartfelt prayer. The author concludes by saying it is that power, that powerful call to heaven made by a single key individual or an entire nation, which has drawn God into the affairs of men to direct the course of history. So you see how we're dealing with human beings that are made in God's image. Brother Brown said, we are little messiahs. He said, if you had just that much Holy Ghost in you, you have enough power to create worlds. So we're saying something here that that we don't quite understand, and yet science is even coming forth and showing cases of this. From Christ revealed in his own word, Brother Brown said, if Einstein had only the spiritual application as he had the physical application as he studied the laws of light and so forth, he could have told us something. When I heard his message on that great center somewhere in the skies that ever contacted with that center, you could create Earths, do anything that the power would be unlimited. See, he had seen that. Now, we can go into a long study on vibration and frequency in relation to God's presence, and perhaps maybe we may do a little bit more of that. But from faith is a substance, Brother Baxter. Now, this little girl is blind, no vibration in her hand. She's crippled. And, of course, that don't make a vibration, just a germ disease. So this is a quote from Brother Bram saying, look, when there's germs in the body, I get a vibration on my hand. The person was blind, there was no vibration because that's not a germ. It's not another life. So he was able to sense the different demons, we call them, or the different lives that were in there. Now we see the same with the colors of the rainbow. I showed you just a graph not too long ago, and when we did the rainbow study some time back, we showed you the frequencies and how frequency is used in color. We showed you in that study how each color represents a separate promise of God to man, like God's barcode in the sky. But going back up to the unveiling of God in paragraph 62, Brother Brown said, now, in one time, if a man walks through that veil, it was sudden death. But now it's death not to go through it. Amen. If you can't break the veil of tradition, break through the wall, that wall of denomination to see God in his power, it's death. Once where it was death to go in, now it's death to stay out. The whole mercy seat setting in plain view, anybody can see it. The veil is rent. Glory to God. The whole mercy seat comes into plain view. How God could have mercy on foul sinners as us when he hid himself was a mystery. And now it's in plain view, or in full view, revealed by his word. It's always the word, constantly that is God. It's the word that opens it up. And so what we're saying is if you have the Holy Ghost, only if you have the Holy Ghost, you'll be able to understand the things of God. Well, not only will you be able to understand the things of God, but you'll actually be able to transcend into that dimension. And when you hear those tapes, like everybody else is hearing them, but you're actually recognizing what he's saying. Others are hearing it, the voice of it, but they're not recognizing what he's saying. So it's just kind of blabber to them. All right. In other words, as Jesus always referred to the word as being the door, let's look at that door as being a portal into the very presence of the Shekinah glory, the frequency of God, the seventh dimension where the presence of God lives. He said, if those people would have known the word of God that day when Jesus died, they'd have seen the mercy seat. They would have seen who he was. Who was that then? Why did the veil rent? Remember, it's death to go into it. Nobody could see it. Moses saw it in a form. It was a whirlwind. It was a man's back, but here it is, a bleeding back, that same man. What was it? God wanted to show them the mercy seat. God wanted to show them who he was. So the veil in the temple from the hand of God above was rent from top to bottom and showed God in plain view. It was Jesus Christ hanging on the cross, the mercy seat. And what was it? The people were too blind to see it. Okay, and that is why he said in 1 Corinthians 13 and 12, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now we know in part, but then shall we know even as we know. Well, when is the then? He said, when that which is perfect is come. And Brother Bram said, that is the perfect revealed word that we have today. Now, when God dwelt in the Ark of the Covenant, his word was placed in between the two cherub, and anyone who walked into the holiest of holies died. And paragraph 62, Brother Bram said from the unveiling God, now it's death to stay up. And 6:2 of the unveiling guide said, now, and one time if a man walked through the veil, it was sudden death. Now it's death not to go through it. Amen. If you can't break that veil of tradition, break through that wall of denomination to see God in His power, that's John 14:12 and other things, it's death. Once where it was death to go in, now it's death to stay out. The whole mercy seat setting in plain view, anybody can see it. The veil's rent, glory to God, the whole mercy seat comes into plain view. How God could have mercy on foul sinners as us when He hid Himself as a mystery and now it's in plain view or in full view and revealed by His Word. It's always the Word constantly that is God. It's the Word that opens it up. Now, men have speculated about the power that was in the ark because when the high priest went into the presence of the ark while wearing the breastplate, it would light up the breastplate stones. So men have speculated over the past 100 years or so concerning that power or frequency that emanated from God's presence. Others who tried to touch it immediately died. The power was that great. In 1 Corinthians 4 and 5, the Apostle Paul said, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and He will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. Now, how can God make manifest the counsels of the heart, like He did through William Branham? Remember, Brother Branham said it's like a vibration. He said, and somehow he said my inner being. He said, a man can't do that, but the Holy Ghost can. And he said, and I begin to see things formulating. He said, and all of a sudden it comes to my eyes. Like he said, that's God's television. It's like a vision. So He makes light, and the light brings into manifestation the counsels of the heart. Just like when Brother Branham stood there on the platform and he said, you know who I'm waiting for? I'm waiting for Him. And then when that pillar of fire would come, He would know the hearts of secrets of the heart. Just like that light in the ark of the breast of Aaron, it would tell whether the person's dream was true or was from God or wasn't from God, etc. So you see, we've already said, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part will be done away. And so then the partial understanding of the Word of God will be done away at the time of this glorious presence of the Perfect One. And if the partial understanding is done away, then that means that if we have a partial understanding, then we had a wrong understanding or a dark understanding. But when that partial understanding is done away, then we have a full understanding. And that is why the parousia of Christ is so vital, important to us. Now, author Israel P. Warren of Portland, Maine, he wrote in his book called The Parousia in 1879, he said, we often speak of the second advent or the second coming, etc., but the scripture never speaks of a second parousia. Whatever was to be its nature, it was something peculiar, having never occurred before and being never to occur again. It was to be a presence differing from and superior to all other manifestations of Himself to men, so that its designation should properly stand by itself without any qualifying epithet other than the article, the presence. From his view of the word, it is evident, I think, that neither the English word coming nor the Latin word advent is the best representative of the word. They do not conform to its etymology. They do not correspond to the idea of the verb which it is derived from, nor could they appropriately be substituted for the more exact word presence. In the case where the translator used the latter, nor is the radical root of them the same. Coming and advent give most prominently the conception of an approach to us, motion towards us, whereas parousia, that of being with us, without reference as to how it began. The force of coming and advent ends with arrival, that of presence begins with the arrival. Coming and advent are words of motion, whereas presence shows rest. The space of time covered by the action of coming or advent is limited. It may be momentary. That of presence is unlimited. Had our translators done with the technical word parousia, as they did with baptisma, transferring it unchanged, or if translated using its exact etymological equivalent presence, and had it been well understood, as it then would have been, that there is no such thing as a second presence, I believe that the entire doctrine would have been different from what it is now. The phrase of second advent or second coming would never have been heard. The church would have been taught to speak of the presence of the Lord as that from which its hopes were to be realized, whether in the future or at the remotest period, that under which the world was to be made new. A resurrection both spiritual and corporeal should be attained, and justice and everlasting awards administered. And he continues, the word parousia became the official term for a visit of persons of high rank, especially kings and emperors visiting a province. So I'm fully convinced that the parousia of Christ is the most important thing we can cherish as children of the living God, to dwell in His presence and to know that this is the hour that it all began. And as the man said, during this presence, God will do what He has never done before for an extended period of time as never before. And let's face it, we showed you 79 of the events that were prophesied in Scripture to take place during the period time called as parousia have already taken place. Just a half a dozen, and actually 79 of the 84. Okay, there's just half a dozen more to be completed, and thus constituting the parousia of Christ. Notice He spoke of the resurrection, which begins first with the spiritual resurrection and then finalizes it in a corporeal resurrection. So the shout begins a spiritual awakening, a spiritual resurrection. Paul says in Ephesians 5:14, "Wherefore He saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." And we know that when His presence comes, there will be a shout, a midnight cry, that will wake the sleeping virgins to come out into His presence. This is actually a spiritual awakening or a spiritual resurrection. That's why if you are truly spiritually awakened during the shout, you will manifest resurrection during the time of the voice. All right. We know when His presence comes, there will be a shout, a midnight cry that will awaken the sleeping virgin. Okay. Now, Jesus tells us this of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25:1. He says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom." Now, the number 10 means the end of a cycle. All right. Just like a Hertz is a full cycle, it's the end of a cycle of virgins. So there won't be any more virgins after this. Five of them were wise, five were foolish. All right, so and Brother Brown said the number five is not that important here. It's just telling us there's a number that would be this and a number that would be that. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels. Notice, in their vessels with their lamp. All right, well, what's your vessel? It's your body. Okay, while the bridegroom tarried, that was for the past 2,000 years, they all slumbered and slept. Now, two words describe the condition of the church here. Number one, slumbered, which actually means they became drowsy and slept. Which implies that they were totally asleep at this point, and actually refers to those who went to the grave. You know, we say they slept. So you have two conditions here. Some were spiritually asleep, and others who had died and were in the grave. And at midnight, there was a cry made, "Behold." And now the word "behold" means look and see. And then a message goes forth. The bridegroom is here. Come out to meet him. So we're looking at the presence of the bridegroom showing up. And the message goes forth to the virgins, both those who are in the grave and those who have need of a spiritual awakening. But this loud cry, this shout, awakens them all. Just as we see when Jesus was on the cross, He lifted up His head. And with a loud voice, He cried out, as we see in Matthew 27 in verse 50. Jesus, when He had cried out with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Now, what is a loud voice? It is a shout. And when He did that, look what happened. "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks did rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the grave after His resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many." So they were quickened, and many of the bodies of the saints arose, but they didn't come out of the grave till after He did. So it was a period of time they had to wait in that spiritual, resurrected state before He came forth, and then they could come forth. Now notice that on the cross He cried with a loud voice, which is a shout, and immediately it says, "The graves were opened, ... and many bodies of the saints were slept arose." But then it says they actually did not resurrect until after He arose first. So we see a period of time from the shout went forth and quickened those in the grave until they actually were resurrected. So there is a spiritual resurrection first and then a physical one that followed. Now it's interesting to note that when Brother Branham was caught up to the other side and he told some of the brothers in the tabernacle, in fact, I was just talking to Brother James the other day, and he said, not only did he mention to some individuals, but he told the whole church, he said, "I saw you there. I saw you there." So those people, even though they were in this dimension, yet He saw them there. And remember, Paul says there's bodies terrestrial and bodies celestial. And Paul said, he said that if this body be dissolved, we have another one waiting already in the heavens. So, and Brother Brown said, what you are here is only a reflection of what you are somewhere else. So he said, if your deeds are evil, you know where you're going. But if your deeds are good, righteous, and holy, you know where you're going. All right? So notice then, it was a spiritual resurrection to those people who were already in the grave and to those people that were awake. All right? So the shout is a spiritual resurrection, period. Then it leads to the voice, which is the natural, or the resurrection of the body. And the fool said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. And oil represents the Holy Ghost, and they didn't have the anointing on the word any longer. They once had it, but they lost the anointing on the word that they had at one time. Now, this is very important to understand. I'm going to get into it. But the wise answer saying, not so, lest there not be enough for us and for you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourself. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open up to us. But he answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Now, Brother Bale, from his sermon, God of this Evil Age, number 22, he said, and he said, I used to know you as my wife, but I don't know you as my wife anymore. That's the literal translation Dr. Gustav Feuer gave it to me, the great Greek student of the 20th century, taught by Dr. Ivan Panin, who was the greatest. So we're looking at a wise virgin being taken into the wedding supper and also the great divorcement at the parousia of Christ. You know, I left that one off the list of 84 events because it isn't for the bride. The divorce is not for the bride. Okay, so, but if we were to go back and look at all the other things, I mean, we got probably more than 84, only for the church. Then Jesus adds, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Now, Paul taught us in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13-18, God himself, his parousia, does all three things, shout, voice, and trumpet. God does these three things while his presence is here, his parousia. Speaking of the spiritual resurrection before the natural, the corporeal one, John tells us in 1 John 3 and 2, Beloved, now are we sons of God, and doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That's your spiritual resurrection. When he appears and you recognize, hey, you'll know as you're known. Then in order to see him as he is, he has to do something that takes us from not being able to see him who is invisible to being able to see him who is invisible. Now let me read that again from the Amplified. He says, Beloved, we are even here and now God's children. It is not yet disclosed or made clear what we shall be hereafter, but we know that when he comes and is manifested, we shall as God's children resemble and be like him, for we shall see him as he really is. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for your word and for these things that you're showing us, O God. Knowing that we are getting closer to the resurrection, knowing, as your prophet said, that the rapture could actually go through us and we wouldn't even know it if we're not aware. Knowing, as we look back in some of Brother Bram's sermons, where prayer lines where the pillar of fire is over the woman and he says, accept your healing, stand up, accept your healing. And she didn't do it. He said, I'm sorry, it's too late now. You missed it. Help us, O God, to be, so aware of the vibration of your presence, that you talk to us in your heart. And Lord, I know that people say, well, we shouldn't go by feelings, but Father, we do have feelings for you. And Father, we just pray that you said if we be any otherwise minded, you reveal it to us. So, Lord, we're just asking you to help us to be the spiritual beings that we're two-thirds apart of. We have a spirit, we have a soul, and yet it seems like our flesh is what dictates our lives. Help us, Lord, to go beyond this flesh and help us to listen to your spirit within our spirit, leading and guiding, for sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. I think the importance of understanding some of the stuff we've been showing you is just to help us to know. Look, we're living in three dimensions, but there's four other dimensions out there. Television going right through the room, and like I said Sunday, people that get tuned into that start to be conformed to that. But if you're really tuned into His presence, you can't help but be conformed to Him. And so I hope that's what we get out of these things. God bless you. Let's sing that song. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know whom I have believed.